That's cool. I'm glad to see you. Well, I can't see you, but I'm glad to be here today. Thank you, Brother Wade, for letting me come and be with your church. This is different. Man, this is, I took some pictures because this will be something we'll remember all our lives and something we'll be able to tell our grandkids about, the time we had to go to church in the parking lot. It's really pretty neat, to be honest with you. But, and I thought about when Wade called me about, you know, what I'd talk about today for a little bit. And, you know, I'm sure you've gotten, I'm about worn out being folks trying to encourage me about the coronavirus. I don't know about y'all. I mean, I'm done with the coronavirus. I'm ready for this to be over with. So I'm not going to talk about coronavirus this morning. I do want to thank you for allowing me to be here, and thank you for your support of LifeWord. Because of churches that are faithful to be a part of the ministry of LifeWord, like your church, today, in 70 languages, in 123 countries of the world, one-fourth of the world will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ through the ministry of LifeWord. Through radio, through television, and through the internet, and through print media, LifeWord is sharing the gospel around the world. And it's an honor to be able to serve you. I work for you at LifeWord, and it's an honor to be able to serve you there. It's an honor today to be able to be here with Brother Wade and Joe. I love them very much, their family. Brother George and Jereen, her family. Brother George hired me at LifeWord, and, you know, bless his heart, I about wore him out while I was there on his staff, but and never dreamed that I would be in, I would be trying to lead LifeWord. Let me tell you, he's a blessing to me. He's somebody I can call when I need somebody to just give me good advice and just, and listen, to be encouraged. Brother George will encourage you, and I know you know that. So thank you for being a part of the ministry of LifeWord. This morning, I don't want to talk about coronavirus. I want to talk about the day that the world recognized Jesus for who he was, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's Palm Sunday. And so next week will be Easter. Can you believe that? And I don't know what you guys will do. Are you going to do this for Easter? So you'll be doing this for Easter next Sunday. So it's Palm Sunday, and that's what I want to talk about today. So if you'll take your Bible and turn to with me to Matthew chapter 21, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. I'm going to talk about the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, but I also want to talk to you about the reality that followed that. I want to talk to you about when believers walk away. You know, I've been doing ministry now for over 40 years. I've never ceased to be amazed at people that'll walk away from God, that'll walk away from the church, people that'll make a decision for Christ and you believe that they are who they said they are, they're doing the things they said they believe, and then the next thing you know, they're gone. And they've decided they don't want any more of this. It'll break your heart if you're in ministry. It'll make you question things. But you know, it's not unusual for people to walk away from Jesus. And when you look at Scripture, you understand that people have a tendency to walk away from the Lord. And I believe there's reasons for people to walk away from Christ. I believe there's reasons that people decide that they're not going to follow him anymore. And I think we can see some of these in this passage of Scripture. But I want to read this with you this morning. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them, bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say unto the daughter of Zion, behold, the king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their cloaks and sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before them and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Wasn't that a great day? What an amazing day. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? You got cheers on Sunday. For over 3 years, Jesus had taught. And for the first time now, the Jewish people are acknowledging him as king. Cheers, Hosanna on Sunday. And then Friday came. And the cheers turned to jeers. And the very people that had proclaimed him as the Son of God were now wanting to put him on a cross. Hey, you think things turned around fast in our country? You think things have turned around fast in America? 3 weeks ago, we were on top of the world, weren't we? Economically, seemed like everything was going in the right direction. And in 3 weeks, look where we are. Let me tell you, that's nothing compared to how fast and how quickly the public sentiment turned on Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. He went from being proclaimed the King of Kings to being called somebody that needed to be put on a cross, a criminal, in 5 short days. How could that happen? How could things go so wrong so fast? These people saw Jesus do miracles. How could people shout, "Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord," one day, and in 5 short days be crying out, "Crucify him"? It's incredible, isn't it? I've seen people turn that fast on Jesus. Let me ask you these questions. How could people who claim they love Jesus say that they had given them their lives so easily turn and walk away from him? Have you ever been shocked to hear of someone who was faithful to church, faithful to the Lord, turn their back on Christ? Have you ever wondered how that could happen? I think that there's a lot of reasons, but I want to give you 3 lies that the devil tells people, 3 lies that people believe that make them turn their back on the Lord. 3 lies that if we aren't careful as God's people, we'll believe these lies too. Here's the first one. The devil will tell you that Jesus is just not enough. He's just not enough. Notice what the people shouted that day. Hosanna. Do you know what the word Hosanna actually means? It means, "Lord, save us." Save us from what? What were they wanting to be saved from? Well, the Romans had enslaved the Jews 80 years before that. In fact, in Jesus' day, 2/3 of the world were slaves. For 80 years, they'd been mistreated and abused, and they were looking for a deliverer. And there'd been a lot of people that had come before Jesus and claimed to be Messiah. And every time, it had ended badly. And finally, it looked like Jesus was going to fit the bill. Now, historians tell us that Jesus' processional wasn't the only one taking place that day. As Jesus was entering the Eastern Gate, Pontius Pilate was entering the western gate, complete with armed soldiers on horseback, because it was Passover, and revolution and revolt was always in the air during Passover time. The last major uprising had resulted in 2,000 Jews being crucified in one day. And Pilate was there to make sure any revolution was put down quickly. The Jewish people were tired of being kicked around. The Jewish people wanted political freedom, wouldn't you? They wanted a king that would break their brutal bonds from Rome, wouldn't you? They were looking for another Moses. They were looking for another deliverer. They wanted political freedom. But Jesus was offering them spiritual freedom. And it just wasn't enough. And for a lot of people, it's still not enough. He's still not Messiah enough for the Jewish people. Can I ask you a question today? Is Jesus enough for you? Is he enough? You know, I don't know what we're facing in the next few months. We may be facing things in this country we've never faced before economically. Can I ask you a question? If you had to lose it all, would Jesus still be enough? People get disillusioned with Jesus today. Why? Because just as the people in Jesus' day, we've made Jesus all about us. We act as if he's a being that was created for us. Well, first of all, let me tell you this. Jesus wasn't created. He's always been. But all of this isn't about me and you. It's all about him. It's all about his glory. Here's the truth about me and you today. We were created for him and for his good pleasure. We are his. We're the sheep of his pasture. God is not here to grant our every wish. We are not the center of God's universe. God's the center of God's universe. And when we make God all about us, when we make him about our wants and our desires, we're setting ourselves up to be disappointed. When he doesn't respond in the way we hope he would respond, when he doesn't show up on our time schedule, when the pastor doesn't respond the way we want him to, when the music guy doesn't sing the songs that speak to us, when the youth guy doesn't do the things that we think he ought to do, when the church doesn't come through exactly like we want it to, when we won't bow to his lordship in all things in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, we become disillusioned. And people walk away. People become disillusioned when they feel like God doesn't meet their expectations. Here's the truth. God is under no obligation to behave or to act or to do anything we ask him to do. Did you know that? He's God. And he doesn't make the rules. He is the rules. That's not good grammar. Brother George, you can straighten that out in a little bit. He is the rule. You see, the Jews wanted a king of nations, and he came to be the king of hearts. Here's one of life's great lessons that it took me a long time to figure out. He's God, and I'm not. I want to be. He has the sovereign ability to make choices that I don't agree with. He has the power to move in ways that I can't explain. And he's not asking my permission to be God. If he's our God when things are going our way, are we willing to be disciples enough to follow him when circumstances are disappointing? When we lose parents or loved ones in death? Or if our finances aren't where we want them to be? Or if our health fails us, even when we ask God to heal, will we be his disciples then? People become disillusioned when they feel like God doesn't meet their expectations. and we begin to believe the lie that Jesus just isn't enough. Here's the second reason people walk away. They feel like the price of following him is just too high. All right, so Brother Wade, this will be all right. Don't get nervous. Did you ever watch the movie Talladega Nights? Anyway, you ought to watch that movie. Anyway, in Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby, he was famous for saying of all the Jesuses in the Bible, he liked the baby Jesus the best. Anybody else see that movie besides me? He liked the baby Jesus the best. You know, I think we do too. I think it's the grown-up Jesus we have a problem with. It's the one who asks us to make sacrifices. The one who demands to be the Lord of all of our lives. You see, right after this amazing scene of Jesus entering Jerusalem, instead of hanging around to sign autographs after this happened, or instead of going to do an interview with CNN Jerusalem, Jesus went to church. He went to the synagogue. And the next scene after the triumphant entry, we see him entering the Gentile area of the temple. And it's Walmart. And Jesus had the first real come to Jesus meeting that ever happened. He took a whip and he drove them out. He turned over tables. He scattered their money. He ruined their livelihood. And I'm sure the people shook their heads and said, you know, I like the Jesus coming in on the donkey better. I like the Jesus with the palm trees better. I like the Jesus that was kissing babies, healing the sick, raising people from the dead. I liked him better. I don't like this Jesus as much. This isn't the happy Jesus that we sing about in church all the time. You see, Jesus, people walk away from Jesus when they realize being his disciple is going to cost them something. What do you think following Jesus should cost you? Should it cost you anything? In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, there's an interesting story. In verse 57, it says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, you're going to follow me? Well, I'm not going to be staying at the Holiday Inn, man. There's really no nice subdivision for me to come home to tonight. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Wasn't that a reasonable request? I mean, I'll follow you, but let me go bury my dad first. Would Jesus be that cruel not to let a man bury his own father? Let me tell you what I think Jesus was telling the man. Following me is going to be the most unreasonable thing you will ever do in all your life. Did you know that God will ask you to do unreasonable things? What are you talking about, Donnie? You could be like missionary Jeremy Hambrice for the BMA. Maybe you'd move into an area, you'd lay down a promising pro baseball career and sell everything you own and move into the jungles of Papua New Guinea. Build your own house with your own hands. Try to learn a language that's never been written down. All that you can, also you can share Jesus and give a Bible to the Waukegan people. Does that sound reasonable to you? Or maybe you'd be like BMA missionary John Page and move your family into northern Cambodia, hours away from any civilization. Build your own house made out of bamboo and move in with a tribe of people that you could make disciples for Jesus. Does that sound reasonable to you? It's unreasonable. It's unthinkable. Let me tell you, Jesus will ask you to make sacrifices that most people think are outrageous. And then in verse 61, still another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service for the kingdom of God. We've got the mistaken impression that God will accept part of our lives. Or whatever we want to give him, we'll just be fine with him. The fact is, he isn't. The fact is, he won't. He's either Lord of all, or he won't be Lord at all. When he stops being the baby Jesus, when he begins to demand that we give him our time, our money, our talents, our families, our relationships, many people turn away. Oh, we're okay with going to church. It's just going all in that's going to be the deal breaker. As long as we can happily sing there's power in the blood, but we're never asked to spill any of our own blood in the name of Jesus, most people will follow. When he quits being the happy Jesus, many people will walk away. And then finally, a lot of people walk away because they believe the lie that salvation without life change is still salvation. You see, the crowd was excited. They had heard that Jesus had raised people from the dead. The blind had been made to see. And it was Passover. It was one of the few customs that the Romans allowed the Jews to keep. And revolution was in the air. And Jesus was a star. Do you believe in Jesus? Hey, I believe in Jesus. Everybody here in this town is believing in Jesus. You know, one of the struggles that our BMA missionaries have in Africa is that it's a land of many gods. When missionaries go there, they'll ask the people, do you believe that Jesus is Lord? And every hand will go up. And then they'll say, well, do you believe that that tree over there is a god? And they'll say, yeah, we believe in that too. Do you believe the sun is a god? Yeah, we believe in that too. He's one of many gods. Can I be transparent with you this morning? Here's my problem. I love Jesus, but I just sometimes have a problem loving him most. Do you ever have that problem? I have to admit that many times in my life that I've let Jesus be one of many gods. And for most believers today, he's just one of many gods. I'll never forget watching Billy Graham on the Larry King show one day. I'm really dating myself. There used to be a guy that came on at night named Larry King. He had his own show on CNN. He was a great interviewer. And Billy Graham was on there one night. And Larry King asked Billy Graham this question. With all the churches that we have in America, with all of the churches, there's a church on every corner, Dr. Graham. Why does it seem that America is getting more and more evil? And Billy Graham said something that night that sent chills up me. He looked right at Larry King and he said, the reason that America continues to become more evil, even though there's more and more churches, is because most people that sit in church every Sunday have never really truly been saved. And I thought to myself, could that be true? Is it true that most people that are in church every Sunday have really never truly given their life to Jesus Christ? Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 7. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. How tragic would it be to spend your life coming to church Sunday after Sunday? And then when you die, have to hear the words from Jesus Christ himself. You'll be separated with me from me for all of eternity because you never truly accepted me. I don't know who you are. I've had a lot of people ask me what God's doing in this time. And I don't know. I really don't. I wish I could tell you. But I want to say this to you. I do believe the coming of Jesus is closer than it's ever been. Do I believe this is an end time event we're experiencing right now? I do not know that. But I can tell you this, it wouldn't surprise me if today, if Jesus came back. And if he doesn't come back today, I could tell you that people are dying all around us and going off into eternity. And the big question that I have for you today is this. Have you ever given your life to Jesus Christ? Do you know that you have? Is that something you have worried about? Is that something you're wondering about? It could be that God is using this event to get your attention and make you stop and examine your life. And examine your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, salvation without life change is no salvation. You can't have one without the other. Are you saved today? Do you know it? There's going to be times in your life that you're going to be tempted to walk away from God if you're a believer. Even the old hymn writer said, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Don't believe the lies. He's enough. He's worth following no matter what sacrifice you have to make. He's worth it. But if you're here today and you've never accepted him, I want to say to you that in this unusual situation, God might be using this time to get your attention and get you to ask the hard question, have I truly accepted Jesus? Can I pray with you this morning? Father, I love you, and I'm thankful for this Palm Sunday, even though it's an unusual situation, and even though, Lord, we find ourselves dealing with things we've never dealt with before. Father, we trust you in all things, and we understand that none of this is beyond your control, that you are sovereign and you know exactly what's going on. Lord, help us to be people that would stay the course and follow you. If things get tough, help us to follow you. Help us to remember that you're enough. If you're all we have, you're more than enough. And Father, help us to respond to your leadership, even when people around us might think that it's crazy to do what you're asking us to do. Father, help us to follow you. And then, Lord, if there's somebody here today that's really been struggling with this idea of becoming a Christ follower, and they've really wondered if that's something they've really made up their mind about, I pray, God, that you'd give them, that your Holy Spirit would work in their life. You'd help them to know that they're saved. And if they're not, I pray you'd give them the courage to talk to this pastor, talk to one of these staff members, and get that straightened out. We love you, Lord. We thank you for being our King, and thank you for the opportunity to worship you today, even in this setting. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.